North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week. It's Friday, September 22nd. I'm Jack Peterson here with Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing very well. And how are you?
I'm good.
Good. And we're here joined this morning by Evie Seberg, the city and schools and other stuff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Evie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming back. Lot going on, as always, this week. We can do a quick rundown of the stories we want to talk about in more detail, and then circle back and talk about them in that detail. The city council news here in Sandpoint. The Sandpoint City Council heard discussion of a proposed housing authority locally here, and that is something that Evie covered in the Daily Bee, which we'll talk to her about later on. The Bonner County Republican Central Committee met on Wednesday to hear a motion to censure County Commissioners Steve Bradshaw and Luke Ahmet. In both cases, they declined to censure, voted against it, although not unanimously. It was somewhat close in both cases, closer in Bradshaw's than in Ahmet's. Or at least contested, I should say, maybe not close. Out in West Bonner County, the school board meeting was canceled on Wednesday when Trustee Troy Reinbold failed to appear and provide a quorum. The ramifications of that are many and varied.
And unclear.
Yeah. A little unclear, yes. Yeah. The fire season here appears to be over. The Idaho Department of Lands issued their final statewide fire update on September 15th, and apparently will be issuing no more, barring some unforeseen disaster. So that's good. And our lake, Lake Pendere, began drawdown on September 19th. So a couple days ago, the lake level started to go down. Election season is almost in full swing. Today is the last day for candidates for office to remove their names from the ballots. So if any of the races are going to be changed, today is the day that they will be changed. And was it already the last day to file for a write-in position?
Yes, that was last Friday.
That passed already.
So after today, the ballot is completely set. The election is completely set.
Yeah.
Might see a candidate or two that decides to withdraw after they sized up the competition, but we'll know after 5 p.m. today.
And, Chris, you had a couple of other interesting things from around the state.
Yeah, we'll get to them if we got time to talk about them.
Okay.
One of them being that Idaho is one of the happiest states in the United States, according to a story in the Idaho Statesman. And then a concerning one is that there were some quagga mussels that were discovered in the Snake River. And that's, of course, that's far from here. It's not part of our watershed. However, it's kind of indicative of the ever-present danger we have here in our lake to get quagga mussels in the lake. And in fact, some people, there actually might be some little colonies started already that we don't even know about very much. So anyways, those are a couple we'll touch on if we get to them. But first, let's talk about the city council weighing the potential establishment of a local housing authority. And we have our authority on the city council here at the moment, Evie. So you were there for the discussion. You're reporting on it. Why don't you fill us in on what that's about?
So the city council and the mayor have been looking into a housing authority for a while now. There were two different studies or assessments conducted in the past few years, one in 2019 and I think another in December of last year. And then the mayor also conducted a survey that showed a lot of employers called housing the number one reason they have trouble gaining a workforce. So that kind of revealed a need for a housing authority in the community. They assessed the regional housing market, affordability and availability in the community. And that's kind of based on how many people can, or how many people have to spend more than 30% of their income on their rent. So the housing authority would be kind of a step-by-step process. I'm not sure exactly how long that's supposed to take, but they had a presentation given by an attorney in from Boise at the council meeting Wednesday, and she kind of went through what implementation would look like. They would be appointing a board of commissioners and then set up bylaws. And the one challenge she said can be presented is funding, because funding is usually created, that revenue stream is created by a lot of the projects that would be put up. There are other housing authorities they've observed in areas like McCall and Nampa, and Boise has one as well. And those generate revenue through rent and grants and all kinds of things like that. But you kind of have to get it up and running first. So paying for the things you need to get it started is a little challenging in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. So this is the city council. So this housing authority that we're talking about right now would relate to that. How about something that's more regional, including Bonner County, rural areas?
So the city council would be implementing the one in Sandpoint. And the mayor talked about plans for, or hopes that eventually they'd be able to establish some kind of joint powers that would make room for a regional housing authority. So the housing authority in Sandpoint would be conducting projects in Sandpoint to create housing and manage housing in the city limits, I believe. But as it becomes successful, as the board develops a better routine, they can look into bringing in a board member or two to represent from other areas like Pendere or Kootenai, and eventually create a regional housing authority. Again, I'm not sure what the timeline for that would look like. I just know it has to do with, you know, when that machine is more oiled and it's operating.
Mm-hmm. And if I read correctly, this housing authority wouldn't have any authority to levy taxes, unlike certain other local authorities.
Like the Urban Renewal Agency,
right.
Does, yeah.
But it would have the ability to enter, to take on debt, basically.
Yes.
So they could go out and spend money right away with the plan of recouping that through rents or whatever.
So the plan is to actually build housing that they could then allow at, I guess it would be below market rate for, people that are still working and right now having to work a couple jobs just to have enough income to pay the rent.
Well, and what the attorney that gave the presentation spoke about is, especially in this area, it might just be for teachers and firefighters and people in those kinds of roles that are still looking for housing they can afford to pay for. So that's something to keep in mind as well. But yeah, they can't levy taxes, which is one of the challenges because an urban renewal agency can, but they can acquire debt, which the city isn't responsible for paying back, is one thing that the attorney clarified.
So the presentation was given by an attorney from Boise. Mm-hmm. Was it followed by discussion? What was the tenor of the conversation after that?
A lot of it was just discussing like startup. One of the things that she presented on was the fact that some city people would have to take interim positions in the beginning to get it started. Like an initial meeting would require someone to be kind of helping appoint a chair, helping develop bylaws, which would, I think that role would go to the city administrator. But that's just a temporary thing. So I think Deb Rule was asking questions about like, what does that look like? How do we require more city people to take on those extra hats? Which they explained as a pretty temporary thing until they can get things up and running. Trying to remember what some other things they talked about
were.
Well,
it sounds like nuts and bolts kind of stuff. So does it seem like this is something that's headed our way? Didn't sound like there was a great opposition to it or anything like that.
I think so. And it's been in the works for a while now, I think, which is half the reason it's a little difficult to catch up on, because a lot of the stuff has been talked about in the past. And I think council members have, you know, planned on this becoming a part of their plan now. I'm not sure when they'll look to adopt that for real, but there wasn't any like outright opposition to it, and I think they're all looking at it as a pretty decent solution to some of the housing issues in the area.
Yeah,
or at least a help. Was there any discussion about the Sandpoint Urban Renewal Agency and their role in I don't think they can actually work on housing-related issues, but the current SURA funding, I think, is going to end in just a year or two. It's going to sunset. I think the city's probably going to try to, you know, do a new urban renewal district that will provide funds to help meet some of the infrastructure costs that come with growth. I don't know if that came up in this discussion at all.
That didn't come up too much. They did talk about the different entities that would be interacting with, like, the city and urban renewal agencies, but their role wasn't addressed in a lot of detail. I know they talked about other urban renewal, or not urban renewal agencies, housing authorities in areas like McCall and Nampa, where they, or Jennifer Stapleton also said sometimes you're receiving funding from other regional programs that want to help other communities develop their housing. So that's another thing that happens. But as far as urban renewal agencies go, I'm not sure.
Well, we will see what comes. It, as you mentioned, it has actually been under discussion for quite a few years or so. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
It's, if we're going to do something on it, I hope that the city council does move forward with it, because we do have acute housing needs here.
It's been discussed at a countywide level as well, but this is seems like the first real progress I've seen on that lately. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Should we play our little Sandpoint sound?
We have a Sandpoint sound. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about one or two more stories, because it will kind of lead into the Sandpoint sound that I grabbed on Wednesday.
Okay.
But one of the stories this week was the Bonner County Republican Central Committee had a sounds like a lively discussion about censure of County Commissioners Luke Ahmet and Stephen Bradshaw. There was a motion before the Central Committee that they be censured. And I think the motion was brought by Dan Rose and another individual that's in the Central Committee. Luke did attend the meeting, and he, of course, spoke in his defense. And ultimately, they voted for not censuring them. So they to censure a county commissioner or any Republican official, you need to have a couple of things that you've done clearly wrong. I think you've had to make decisions that are in opposition to the Constitution or specific policies of the Republican platform. And they decided that hadn't actually happened here. Of course, the county's been really beset with what would you call strife at the county commission meetings, because commissioners Ahmet and Bradshaw have been limiting public comment, because the public comment in their view has really gotten out of hand. There's a lot of times when things get to the level of shouting at county commission meetings, and that's not your beat. I don't know if you picked up anything in the newsroom on that, Evie.
Not really, no. Yeah.
So I know Ahmet appeared and gave a statement in his own defense. And the votes came down 18-11 against censuring Bradshaw and 22-7 against censuring Ahmet. So a little closer on Bradshaw, but of course he's had some specific troubles as well, not related necessarily to the operations of county government.
It's a political party thing. And one of the interesting things this is reported on by both the Daily Bee and the Sandpoint Reader. Something that wasn't in the story, and I got this from a couple folks that attended the meeting. I wasn't there myself. Mm-hmm. Was that NBC Television had a crew there reporting on it, and apparently they've been around town and they are doing a story. This isn't the local affiliate. This is the national news desk is they're preparing a story about extremist politics here in northern Idaho. So. And in fact, I think you saw the crew around town.
I did. I saw them out on First Avenue filming some B-roll of candidate for State Senate Jim Woodward, who's running to reclaim his former seat. Sounds like something we'll see on the national news probably in November or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I hear anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Very interesting. I mean, people are,
We're making national news.
The state of Idaho, North Idaho is kind of, attracted attention far and wide.
Yeah. And it's a sign of the times, not only here, though, actually.
Yeah.
Around the country in many, many different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Well, shall we listen to that Sandpoint sound?
This is a
sound that I grabbed on Wednesday at Sandpoint Community Hall. And it's not going to be very definitive, but here's what it sounded like in Sandpoint Community Hall on Wednesday.
You can't just go eat.
Sounds busy.
Well, that's the sound that about probably somewhere between 120 and 140 people make when they're noshing and talking. And that I grabbed that actually. You mentioned Woodward. That was a kickoff event for his campaign. And it was, I didn't know what to expect. I decided to drop by and check it out. And there were a lot of people there. So that's, I think, indicative of the fact that race in which he faces the incumbent. Scott Herndon, of course, Herndon defeated Woodward in the last election for state senate here in District 1. Remember, and I want to throw out a shout. Remember, Sandpoint Sound is something I kind of been grabbing with my phone, but everybody's got a phone in their pocket and it has a good recording device on it. If you're out and about in Sandpoint and you grab a snippet of sound, send it in here to KRFY, and it can be a Sandpoint Sound that we hear. Something that you hear around town in the course of the week.
Be cool. Let's talk a little bit about West Bonner County. The school board was scheduled to meet on the 20th for a regular meeting. Trustee Troy Reinbold failed to appear and provide a quorum. He apparently sent in a message earlier in the day saying that he wouldn't be there and, from what I can tell, couldn't be reached for comment by any of the local media. What this means is that, so there's ordinarily five members of the West Bonner County School Board. Two of them have been recalled in an election on August 29th. And so the remaining three members can meet and appoint the two replacements for those, for the now missing members. But they have to meet and have a quorum to do so.
Yeah, so they need three of five have to be there to constitute a quorum.
Yeah. So Reinbold's failure to appear means that no business of any kind, including that reappointment, can be done. There were some items on the agenda, the proposed agenda, including the removal of it did not say specifically which public holder of employment was to be removed, but I think
they were going to discuss dismissal or disciplining of a employee or public officers, and we can surmise that was probably Superintendent Brandon Durst that was going to be on the hot seat there. But this is, raises a really interesting question, because if Trustee Reinbold will not attend any meetings, then nothing can happen.
Yeah.
And if he can't be removed automatically unless he misses four meetings in a row. So that would go up through December, as I understand.
That's what it seems like, yeah. Which would be after the election and also after the 90-day period that the West Bonner County School District has to appoint those replacements to the board.
Yeah.
So at that point, the Bonner County Commission could appoint the replacements for those, would have the authority to appoint those replacements instead over the head of the West Bonner County School District trustees.
It remains an interesting situation there.
Yeah.
Of course, Reinbold was one of the three trustees that voted to hire Brandon Durst in the first place. And Brandon Durst is a staffer for the Idaho Freedom Foundation. He was a former legislator, he has a history of conflict with Jim Woodward when Jim Woodward was down there. Their decision to hire him with no public education experience, of course, set off the whole recall movement there. So the tough times over there in West Bonner County School District right now, as things remain pretty unsettled.
Yeah. Here on this radio station, we actually, on Tuesday, Phil Huff had a good conversation with some folks who are organizing the Priest River Youth Connections, I think, doing the Friday, the fifth day of, there is no fifth day of school in West Bonner County, but they are trying to get some youth programs going up and running on Friday to provide for families and kids who...
Have you reported on that at all, Evie?
Yes, I did a story on that a couple of weeks ago, so it's not super fresh in my memory, but I know they were looking for volunteers, and that's kind of what it was dependent on, if they had the right amount of volunteers for the kids that signed up. But and then they have long-term goals to create more programs like that for the youth in Bonner County or West Bonner County.
So, I mean, it will be interesting, to see what happens if Reinbold just... They rescheduled this meeting, by the way. They rescheduled it for next week, so we'll see if he shows up next week or if he just decides to dodge it. But he's also up for re-election in November, and that would be, you know, that'll be an interesting race to watch. And if he can just continue to not go to school board meetings and yet be re-elected to that position, would be something unusual.
So, speaking of elections, let's weigh in on that. And as a matter of fact, there are, as you mentioned earlier, three seats in the West Bonner County School District that are up for election. One of them is a seat held by Reinbold, and he did file for re-election. And he's going to face Elizabeth Glazier. That's in Zone 3. In Zone 5, the incumbent Carlin Barton is going to face Kathy Nash. And then in Zone 1, Alan Galloway will be contesting incumbent Margaret Hall. So that could be another interesting marker.
I would guess that, I mean, we've got actually seems like a pretty civil lineup of candidates for, I mean, everybody seems to get along in terms of city candidates that, you know, that I can tell. I think the race to watch is going to be that one in West Bonner County. I think that's going to be maybe the most interesting and hotly contested of the local elections.
Well, I believe that the Lake Pondere School District is going to have a pretty well-contested election in Zone 1.
True.
This Lake Pondere School District, the one that covers Sandpoint here and Sagal and over to Clark Fork, has two seats up for election. The seat held in Zone 4 by Geraldine Lewis, and she's actually unopposed. But in Zone 1, the seat held by Pearly Decker is open. He is not running again, and there are three candidates there, Rebecca Holland, Jennifer McKnight, and Scott Wood. So that race, Jack, I would tend to think will probably be pretty well contested because there's some pretty clear ideological differences among the candidates there.
And there are
you know, city elections, school district elections, other special district elections like the recreation district, there's a bunch of fire districts that have elections, may or may not. We don't have that big list of candidates of all those special districts. But let's rattle off the ones in the city of Sandpoint, because most of our listenership is right around Sandpoint. For mayor, there are three candidates on the ballot: Jeremy Grimm, Kate McAllister, and Fritz Moore. And for council, there are three seats open, and the candidates there are Amelia Boyd, Pam Duquette, Deb Rule, who's an incumbent, Kyle Schreiber, Grant Simmons, and Ellie Sussness. That is going to be a pretty testy election, too, I would imagine, because we've got a lot of candidates running, and I'm sure we'll hear a lot of different points of view on how the city ought to conduct business. I will throw out, we're working to arrange, KRFY is working to arrange a forum that we would collaborate with the Sandpoint Reader and Sandpoint Online, and maybe even the Bonner Daily Bee, if you guys want to throw in with the other media here in town, to hold a candidates forum for city candidates as well as Lake Pontarie School District, that contested race there. And if we do that, we're going to try to make it happen the week of October 16th, because early voting starts the following Monday on October 23rd. So we'd like to have that candidates forum prior to the first opportunity to vote. So listen up for that to come. We'll get more details on that when we actually get that set.
Evie, Chris, anything to say about those elections? Have you seen any, heard anything from anybody about, you know, how that election is shaping up?
I haven't heard anything specifically. I've heard from Kate and Jeremy Grimm, Kate McAllister and Jeremy Grimm, about their platform, basically. And I've heard people supporting both. So I think at this point, it's going to come down to how voters define progress for Sandpoint, because Grimm's platform is based a lot on like transparency in the city council, or not city council, city hall, and kind of limiting tourism almost. And Kate's been here for a long time and has been deeply involved in the community and cares about the people here too. So I think it's just going to depend on how voters want to move forward, especially with things like the downtown master plan, and even maybe the housing authority might be an important thing to ask about when looking into candidates.
I've seen lawn signs for both.
The signs are starting to go up.
And
Jeremy and Kate both have signs up. I haven't seen anything yet for Fritz Moore. Fritz does have, all three of them now have websites up, so you can find them on the web. I know that Kate has a Facebook page. I'm not sure about Fritz or Jeremy yet, but, and how about in the council? You see any, that's going to be a horse race with six people running for three seats.
Yeah. I honestly haven't heard a lot about what that, I don't have a lot of predictions there just because there's a unique group of people. I think a couple of these people are connected with arts programs in the city. And then I know Kyle Schreiber attends a lot of the council meetings and is involved there. And then Deb Rule's already been on council. So I think it's a unique tapestry of motivations going forward that could definitely shape up differently depending on a lot of factors.
And those are at-large seats, so nobody's running against any other individual. They're just, it's just the top three finishers get the three seats in that election. Yeah, Rule is the incumbent, as we said. I just saw the first sign that I have seen for city council. I think I saw a sign for Pam Duquette on my bike ride in here this morning, and that's the first sign I've seen at all of any city council contestant.
Those signs will start popping up like, leaves turning to yellow.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, we actually are at our 30-minute limit. I did want to throw out that actually, regardless of what you may have heard yesterday on the morning show, today is the first is the autumn equinox. It doesn't actually occur until 11:50 p.m. tonight, and that of course marks the first day of autumn. So we have about 20 some hours of summer left, folks. So get out there and enjoy that. And the fall foliage, I just mentioned that. The Old Farmer's Almanac predicts peak color happening here around the week of October 11th. And you can just start to see the trees starting to turn color right now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite places to see fall color? Either one? Well, you're kind of new to town, Abby, so you probably don't have that spotted out yet. But how about you, Jack?
I do think the Bay Trail is pretty good.
The Bay Trail is actually pretty spectacular. It's a whole 2 miles of birch trees, and they go up very yellow.
Yeah.
In town, Sixth Avenue has a bunch of maples. Mm. And actually over at Dover Bay, as you're driving in, those trees all turn really red, as I recall. And I can't remember what type of trees those are. Uh-huh. If you're really into the color, the Lake Pend'Oreille Cruises does a Clark Fork Delta cruise the first couple of weeks in October. You get to see the colors in the Delta, which are pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll mention one other thing. Have you been out to see the Kokanee running in Trestle Creek?
Not yet.
Okay.
Have you?
No, I have not.
No.
They should be going right now. They might be going strong, or they might be already the early fall run might be already past its peak. But
hopefully this weekend.
But a pretty cool fall thing to see. And if you haven't been there, you just drive out. Right where the highway crosses Trestle Creek, there's a little parking spot there. You can walk down, and you'll see a bunch of these bright red kokanee. Mm-hmm. They're a type of salmon that turn red as they run up Trestle Creek to spawn.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we should do a shout-out for the underwriter of this program.
We should. You're right. This program is brought to you by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings online at evergreen-realty.com.
And thanks to Evergreen Realty
for supporting North Idaho News of the Week in particular, and the radio station as well. Speaking of Trestle Creek, today is the day that both parties in the administrative hearing before the Idaho Department of Lands must submit their written closing statements. And so the Department of Lands the Office of Administrative Hearings will issue a recommended decision to the IDL director within 2 to 3 weeks.
And that's for the proposed development at Trestle Creek right there on the lake, which would include a 105 slip marina and some luxury homes.
Yeah.
So,
Evie, we are, as always, we're over time, but anything coming up for you, anything we should look for in the B under your byline in the coming days and weeks?
Let's see. Well, I spoke with someone who's with the Idahoans for Open Primaries yesterday who wants to talk a little bit about their mission in the upcoming months. So I might be putting out a story on that soon. Let's see what else. There's a few different community events coming up that I've been looking at. A craft crawl, which sounds kind of fun. I'm talking with someone about that today. That's about all that pops into my head, but I know there's some fun stuff coming up.
Mm-hmm. A craft crawl. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. I think then that's it.
We're already on overtime here. Yeah. So I want to say thanks for everybody for listening to News of the Week, and we'll be back next week. And I'm sure there's going to be a bunch of news that happens between now and next Friday.
Mm-hmm. It seems like there always is. All right. Stay tuned for Otto's Eclectic Mix and our regularly scheduled programming all day right here on 88.5 KRFY Pend'Oreille.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY Pend'Oreille.